Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing our show, and together we welcome you to Buckmaster. Tom, where's the rain? I see now they're saying 100% chance.
Well, we're supposed to get a good rain tonight through tomorrow morning.
Have I heard that story before?
I know. I keep looking forward to that because it's a good sleeping condition.
Yeah, so let's hope so, that we get some rain. Anyway, of course, today, an historic day. It's Wednesday, the 20th of January, 2021, Inauguration Day in the United States of America. We are in week three of our 11th year on the radio here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. Also, those podcasts. We've got 10 years of podcasts stored up on the BuckmasterShow.com site. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's get right to it and go on the live line to Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, superintendent of the second largest school district in the state of Arizona, the largest here in Southern Arizona, Tucson Unified School District. Dr. Trujillo, how are you?
Yes, good afternoon, Bill. I'm doing very, very well on this inauguration day. I hope you're doing well also. And Happy New Year to you. I believe this is my first appearance in 2021.
Yes, it is. And normally you would be with me in studio, but because of the surge in the COVID cases, KVOI management temporarily reinstating our no guests in studio, which is probably a wise move right now. So we've got you on the live line. Did you happen to hear the inaugural speech?
It has been a tremendously busy morning, as most mornings of the superintendency are for TUSD. I caught some clips on the news. I'm looking forward to hearing what the new president has to say in his first official address. I only hope that today marks the beginning of a new chapter of bipartisan conversation, cooperation, and collaboration. So my hope is today marks the end of this very, very toxified, hyper-partisan political environment that is really ripping our country to shreds. And I hope that today starts us on a new path of national unity.
And we'll be talking the whole second half hour about the speech and where we go from here. But I'll just share with the listeners right up front, the right tone, I thought, was certainly set for these troubled times. Actually, I thought it was pitch perfect. About a 25-minute speech, probably one of the shorter inaugural addresses, but it was what we needed right now. Speaking of kind of bringing folks together, how is the new board getting along? Wasn't there a meeting last night?
I've got to tell you, Bill, I think that this is probably, I think this is my, finishing up my fourth year in the district. This is my third board that I've worked for, or the third iteration of a Tucson Unified Governing Board. I think when you talk about camaraderie and rapport and working relationships, this is the best group of five that we've had so far. And it's early, but they all bring a tremendous amount of enthusiasm, of creativity, of intelligence. Their background as parents, I think, builds amongst the five of them an unshakable common ground that helps them get to consensus and agreement on a middle ground on a lot of difficult issues a lot quicker than previous groups that I've worked with on this board.
Would you say in your entire educational career, this is the best board you've had to work with?
I would say absolutely, without a doubt. They are off to a tremendous start. I think immediately the tone of governing board meetings has totally changed. I think when you have five parents in control of the district, I think there's an instant connection to the parents of the district, to the voters, to the community members, that parents are in control, that parents are going to be straight with them. The parents that are serving as governing board members are looking out for them and their kids. And I think that level of trust, probably might have been missing to some extent with previous governing boards. Not that each governing board wasn't special. Each governing board was able to do, I think, the best that it could under the circumstances in which it worked. But I think this one has the potential to do some great things for the district, especially leading us out of this COVID-19 nightmare.
All right. Before the new year, we had your last appearance on the program. You gave our listeners some very shocking news about the financial situation, dire straits, really, for Tucson Unified. As I recall, the number you were talking about at the end of the year was, for some reason, $20 million in red tape, a red ink sticks in my mind. Is that about right?
I've got some great news to share. You know, two key things have happened since the last time that we talked. Number one, Congress, thankfully, at the 11th hour, passed a new round of CARES Act legislation that has meant over $1 billion that will now be allocated to schools across the nation. More than so, I think that we are in great shape to be receiving at least the same amount, if not potentially double the amount in CARES Act funding that we saw during the first round. The first round, the district saw $18 million. This time, we're projecting right around $25 or $26 million
Wow.
that will be rolling into the district to support us. That is a lifeline. So that's a game changer for us. Secondly, Bill, and this is a testament to the amazing work of our teachers and our principals, our 100th day of enrollment is fast approaching. Today is day 95, and we have actually seen the enrollment bleed significantly slow down, if not stop altogether, at middle schools and high schools. We're still losing some kids at elementary, but between the 40th day of the school year, which was October 6th, and the 100th, which is coming at us next Wednesday, which will be the 28th of January, we were fearing, Bill, that we were going to lose an additional 1,000, and that's not the case. We're going to end up losing broadly around 230. So that is a tremendous bright spot for the district. That's a testament to our teachers, our principals, our school staff members, reaching out to families, calling them, getting them to log on, getting them to stick with the district. So that has significantly brightened our prospects for next school year.
Boy, you're full of good news. That's good to hear. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo with us on the Buckmaster Show, superintendent at Tucson Unified. So that's good news. So with a better looking money picture, first of all, what turned the stop the bleeding? Why did the hemorrhaging, do you think, stop? What's your gut feeling on that?
I think we did a couple of things really, really well. We were in dire straits in September and October. We were losing around 130 students, 140 every 10 days were leaving the district. I think we immediately moved in and instituted an expectation system-wide that any family requesting a withdrawal or departure from a TUSD school would have to meet with an administrator, a principal or an assistant principal. And I think through those exit interviews, we were able to stop a lot of departures from the district with simple things, simple adjustments. Sometimes a change of teacher is what the family's looking for. Sometimes solving a device problem or solving an internet access issue we're stopping people from leaving the district. And secondly, from a teacher level, I'm proud of the way that our teachers have reached out to families, have really pressed on kids that haven't been logging on, have been calling families, getting them to pressure their kids to log on during the day, getting more families connected to online learning. I think these steps have really helped us to stop the enrollment bleed or the march out of the district. I don't think we're out of the woods. It's never too good to lose kids. But the colossal losses that we were taking through August and September and October and into November that led to a 2,600 student loss by the time we hit our 40th day has subsided. And we've actually seen that we've gained kids at the middle school level, and we have halted some of the serious losses we were seeing at the high schools. Now it's time to focus our efforts on positioning the district to come back full force, open for all, in August of 2021.
Well, that is good news you're sharing with us. Let's have some more good news, Dr. Trujillo, and you know what I'm going to talk about next.
That's right. We're going to talk about Mona's.
We are. And who wouldn't want some wonderful comfort food right about now? It has been it's been a rough ride, and Mona's has that comfort food for you. They're home of the Danish Kringle, and I always like to add my favorite, the giant-headed blueberry muffins up at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Open right now for lunch. Check it out. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. They open at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast. You can call ahead for your bakery goods, have them ready, or just walk into the bakery with your mask on. You can dine outside on the patio. There's some limited dining inside. Then take a look. Gaze at that case filled with all those lovely pastries at Mona's Danish Bakery. More with Dr. Trujillo on Inauguration Day after this.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition on this Inauguration Day 2021. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear courtesy Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, on our live line. And we go back to the live line and the superintendent of Tucson Unified, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. And to summarize, he gave us a couple of headline items to begin our show today. One, CARES Act money, that's federal money in this time of COVID, could amount to, I think he said, $25 to $26 million, and the hemorrhaging, the bleed of students leaving the district has slowed considerably. So those are some optimistic notes for this day, aren't they, sir?
Yeah, they're incredibly optimistic. You know, the ball has not bounced the right way for TUSD throughout this pandemic until now. So we were very, very excited of these couple of bright spots that have come our way, because it has been a long and frustrating and very difficult, not just politically, but financial journey for us throughout this pandemic since March, beginning of the close.
So now we turn to getting vaccine in teachers' arms, the talk about when we can resume in-person learning. So that's the next chapter, Dr. Trujillo.
You're exactly right. That's chapter two. Our governing board had a great study session last night. And if you heard their public comments, the good news is that there's a will there. Last night, I heard very clearly through all the public commentary that there's a collective will that the five of them have a strong preference for opening up school for in-person learning at some point this semester. Now, we got to work out the when. We talked about a couple of different potential scenarios last night. A March opening, come back from spring break, and let's open it up for the fourth quarter. Let's get kids back. We also heard the possibility, and of course this depends on the extent to which vaccines have been made available to our teachers. We also heard about the potential for a rodeo break, a post-rodeo break opening, which would be somewhere around the last week in February. And of course, our board members last night talked about their preference for us to kind of move slowly and let's bring some targeted grade levels back. Let's take a look at bringing back the children, the K-3 students, kindergarten through third grade. Let's look at bringing our seniors back and giving them some semblance of a senior year. And let's look at sixth grade, because we do know that first year of middle school is absolutely crucial. So right now, we're certainly looking at scenarios that would see a return to on-campus learning for at least those five grade levels.
What about shots? Is there enthusiasm among the teaching staff and the educators at Tucson Unified to get those shots?
Oh, yeah. We have a tremendous demand from our employees to get access to vaccines. Some of our employees have already been vaccinated as part of Group 1B, which is the educators group. Some of them are still frustrated at the lack of appointments and availability. I don't think that that's anything negative on the Pima County Health Department. I think they're doing very, very well. They're doing as best as they possibly could be asked to do under some very difficult circumstances, largely dictated by the disorganized fashion in which the vaccines have been rolled out to the states and the manner in which Pima County as a county has been given vaccines by the state government, by the governor's office. So I think they're doing very well considering the constraints that they're under. And right now in TUSD this week, we've had 780 employees identified for receiving the vaccine this week. We are prioritizing those employees that right now are working directly on our campuses, custodians, bus drivers, front office folks that are receiving families, any one of our teachers that are serving in our on-campus learning spaces for kids using computers, our special education teachers, paraprofessionals working with students on our campuses with multiple disabilities. So we're happy to bring the vaccine priority to this group of employees.
What about the athletic environment at Tucson Unified?
Well, right now we have authorized competition for our winter sports teams. We have basketball, we have soccer, we have wrestling. They've all been cleared for competition. All three sports have put together what we call phase three COVID-19 preventative plans. So they will be engaging in practices, of course, with appropriate physical and social distancing, small groups, masks are going to be required. We, of course, there will be no fans in attendance at any games or competitions. We were able to purchase some really nice live streaming equipment, so parents and fans will be able to watch the basketball games and the soccer matches online. So we're doing everything we can to maintain the sports experience for our athletes.
Looking down the road here, are we going to have to do any belt tightening? I know we're getting the CARES money, but looking down the road, perhaps school closings, or what is your picture for the school year that will begin in the fall, hopefully somewhat normal?
Well, thankfully, we are not in the dire situation that we would have been if we did not receive or were not due to receive another round of CARES Act funding, and if the district would have lost another 1,000 students between October of this school year and now. Thankfully, we're not in that kind of a situation, so the necessity of looking at school closures right now is off the table, at least for the upcoming year. That's not to say that if enrollment takes a crash, which we don't expect it to, and we're going to fight hard against, that may not be on the table for 22-23. So a lot of the big picture cuts and reductions that usually cause a lot of consternation, thankfully this year we'll probably be able to avoid them. In terms of belt tightening, yes, we're going to have to do some trimming of some department budgets, largely at the district level. We're probably going to have to take a look at certain situations where we can eliminate vacant positions and save some budget capacity. The district still has a responsibility to carry money forward each year, just out of financial and fiscal prudence. In the event that enrollment takes an unexpected dive, we need to have some carry forward balances available. The district, of course, needs to shore up its cash reserves. We can't continue to deplete our cash reserves. That was a finding by the Auditor General, and it's, of course, the Auditor General has identified Tucson Unified as a district that needs to focus more on, you know, underutilized spaces and better utilizing our spaces and building up a healthier cash reserve. So we're going to continue to work to those ends.
You mentioned earlier in the first segment something about a 100-day, how important the 100-day mark is. What does that mean?
Well, public school districts in the state of Arizona, we receive our funding from the state based off of two important dates. We have the average number of students enrolled as active students in your district across the first 40 days of school, and we have the number of students enrolled in district schools across the first 100 days of the school year. And it's these two counts that are utilized to determine the amount of funding that you will be receiving as a school district heading into the next school year. So this is where if something crazy happens, right, if you lose an additional 1,000 or 2,000 students between the 40th day of your year, which for us was October 6th, and the 100th, which will end up being January 29th, that spells a lot of doom and gloom for the monies that you could expect to receive in the upcoming school year, which will be 21-22. So that's a little bit of the importance of those two dates.
One other thing I wanted to circle back, this virtual learning environment. Have we gotten computers to everybody that wants one in the Tucson Unified School District? Is that a positive that's come out of this?
That's been the big positive that's come out of this. We've been able to deploy just shy of 14,000 devices
Wow.
out to families, and we are confident now that every family that needs a device now has one. Every family that's struggling with internet access now has an opportunity to get Wi-Fi access. This has largely been a result of the CARES Act funding that the district has received. And now we're going to have to be able to make sure that these devices are part of the new normal at Tucson Unified. The new normal meaning a stronger and a more effective presence of technology in the classroom. So we're excited about the possibilities that the devices now bring to the district as we come out of this pandemic.
All right, with some good news there, it's good to have that from Dr. Trujillo at Tucson Unified School District, the superintendent. Thank you very much. The new year off to a good start with that kind of news, and we'll look forward to speaking with you in February. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Stay safe and stay healthy.
Thank you very much. I will certainly try to do so. It is Inauguration Day. We're going to hear from some local reporters with their take on where things are, including Dan Scheer down in Green Valley, where there's a Trump rally going on. Dan's going to tell us about that and more. Also, Dylan Smith joins us, Buckmaster Midweek Edition on Inauguration Day.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this inauguration day in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things. They're starting now the next half century. They have 50 years of things growing beautifully out at Green Things on their 13 acres. Amazing plants, trees, and annuals and more open daily at 3384 East River Road. The website for Green Things is greenthingsaz.com. And their sister operation, ZocaloVillage.com, Zocalo Village, for all that beautiful Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, and some really gorgeous handmade furniture. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. First up, Dylan Smith, editor, publisher, founder of, I believe today might even be the anniversary of the online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Is that correct, Dylan?
Today, tomorrow, I don't know. I've been so busy that thank you for reminding me of that. It's somewhere in this week is our birthday. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, let me be the first to wish you congratulations, Dylan. There you go. All right, on our other live line, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, editorial director for the two dozen newspapers owned by the Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications. Dan, before we go to you and what's happening with a Trump rally, Dylan, what did you think of the inauguration speech? I thought the tone was the right tone for these troubled times. What about you?
Certainly one would never put Joe Biden up in the ranks of the greatest speakers of our time, but it was a very well written speech, hit a lot of the notes that people are looking for. It was not, filled with just a bunch of platitudes. He spoke some pretty hard truths about the difficult times that we are in, not just the pandemic, but the assault on truth that we are seeing, the reckoning with a system of racism that has harmed so many people for centuries. And I really spoke to the fact that it's time. He literally said it's time for Americans to step up. He asked that. He said, now we're going to be tested. Are we going to step up?
Good afternoon, Dan Scheer. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Bill.
7 out of 10 Republicans hold on to this fantasy that the election was stolen from now former President Trump. I guess some of those people are out today in your community.
Yeah, we're probably 9 out of 10 down here. but I'm wondering what the next couple of weeks will bring as people kind of sinks in. This morning, we did have a handful of people out at the corner, a couple of upside down flags and some writing on the sidewalk and some signs, American pride. And so there was definitely a sense of mourning for them, and I'm sure that it's definitely a tables turned situation from 4 years ago, and they're experiencing this. And then there is going to be at our local GOP this evening, they're going to have a potluck and a rally, and they're going to come on over to the newspaper and give us some choice words, I would guess. The building, however, will be empty. So.
What were your thoughts on the Biden inauguration speech?
I focused on one line in there because I think it was really important. It was, don't tell me things can't change. And really what a message that is for all of us, because things do need to change. And I'm not talking about Trump policies or anything like that. I'm talking about things that go beyond politics that have affected families and friendships and lots of relationships, that it's just so it's so divisive, and it just never ended. And I don't know that this is going to end at a new presidency, but I do think that we're not going to have somebody constantly beating that drum I'll use the word, inciting people to do things that maybe they wouldn't do if they didn't have such a strong force pushing them. And so never really was a fan of how the president conducted himself, and I'm looking forward to maybe a little more decorum and attention to protocols.
Dylan, a lot of people after the election, a lot of people on the Democratic and liberal side said that this is not my president after Trump became the president. Now we're seeing on the right saying that Biden is not their president. Some of your thoughts.
Well, you know, that was it's an understandable reaction when, you know, the side you root for and support doesn't win. That happens after pretty much every election. There are certain people on the side that did not prevail who announced that. You know, the reality of the situation right now is that Joe Biden is the president of the United States. The reality of the situation is that Kamala Harris is the vice president, and you know, the first woman vice president, the first African-American vice president, the first Asian-American vice president. That's a pretty momentous day, and quite simply a fact. It was a fact 4 years ago that Donald Trump became the president. And 4 years ago, Dan and I were on your program on Inauguration Day and discussed a little bit about how it was, heartening that after so much division that we saw in 2016, that there was a dignified, peaceful transfer of power. We had that again. Certainly we had more division. There were just people who were, at least in their minds, fighting on behalf of Donald Trump, who invaded the capital of the United States in an attempt to carry out a coup 2 weeks ago. There were, basically a battle on the very steps where Joe Biden was just sworn in as the president. And yet, although Donald Trump decided to absent himself from the proceedings, we still had a transfer of power with certainly perhaps even a greater measure of dignity and not quite as much celebration as we've ever seen.
Dan Scheer, what can conservatives salvage from the debris?
Well, I think that's going to be up to each individual person, and I think it's going to involve some honesty, and that is, really, is this how you personally feel about the president and his policies and the idea that in a democracy we compromise and we come together and we reach a deal that may not make everybody happy, but it is somehow satisfying because this is our form of government and it works. And so do they want that, or are they going to bow to this personality, personality cult that we've had the last 4 years? And that's exactly what it is. If you think about it, we have not been talking about the issues the last 4 years, Bill. We have been talking about Donald Trump. And there's a big difference here. I want to get back to discussing the issues. And it's no secret. I'm personally very conservative myself. But feel like we have been dragged backward by this former president and want to move ahead and talk about some of these issues. Immigration, good grief. I mean, Biden's proposal, whether you like it or not, is more progress than we've had in 4 years. And it was just a sentence and just thrown out there and probably won't even pass, but at least he's thinking in this direction. So that's just one of those issues where we need to make some progress on. I feel like we've been stuck in the mud, and that doesn't mean I've disagreed with everything President Trump has done, but I really feel like we got a lot of catching up to do.
Dan, before we let you go, and we're going to, if I had three lines available, I'd let you stick around, but we're going to bring in Jim Nintzel for the final segment. Your thoughts, and we'll be talking with Dylan and Nintzel a little bit more about this with Kelly Ward. The election is coming up for the Arizona GOP chairmanship. How do you think that will go on Saturday? I believe it is Saturday.
It, Yeah, it is Saturday, and Sergio Arellano is up against her, and he's a good guy down here. We know him personally, and he's on one of our local school boards, and I don't know how much of a real chance he has, but choosing Kelly Ward again is choosing a very specific direction, and it's the same direction that the party's been going in the last few years. She's pugnacious, she's contentious, she's divisive, she's mean-spirited, she's nasty, she's cruel. You got to stop me here, Bill, because I can go on all day. That is what she is. And you know what? The party is not that. It is not that. But people see the party through the person who's heading it in the state. And I think she has been god awful. And I hope they dump her.
All right, Dan, we will have you with me as we interview Chuck Huckleberry. A lot to talk about on Friday, including, I believe, was the curfew shot down today? Did you hear that news?
I have not heard it yet, but we've been waiting for some sort of ruling, so that's certainly something to talk about.
All right. There'll be plenty to talk about.
It was, Bill.
It was?
Great. Okay. Interesting.
There was a ruling, basically an injunction against Pima County's curfew, and the county hasn't issued a statement on it yet, but I would imagine they're going to appeal that.
All right. Yep. Dylan Smith, stick around. And Dan, we'll talk with you on Friday. Thank you very much.
See you then. Bye-bye.
All right. It's the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. We're talking with Dylan Smith. Jim Nintzel is up next. We're going to talk a little bit more about the future of the Republican Party here in Arizona as we continue in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're anxious, as are all of us to get back in the car and travel. But right now, the Land of Enchantment is not open to out-of-state visitors, but the day will be coming when you can get in the car and take that three-hour drive east of Tucson and enjoy some really beautiful country, including the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For more on what to do and where to stay as you plan your trip in 2021 to southwestnewmexico.org. Dylan Smith, the editor, publisher, founder of TucsonSentinel.com, which is celebrating this week its 11th anniversary, is with us on one of the live lines. On the other live line, which is presented, by the way, by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Jim Nitzel, the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Did you, I felt the tone was just right on the Biden inauguration speech. What did you think, Jim?
You know, I think he did a fine job. I think it was kind of funny to see Chris Wallace from Fox News say it was the best inaugural speech he'd heard in his lifetime. I don't think it was quite that remarkable. But I do think he did a fine job. I think the notion that we need to reach out and try to find a way, if not to agree with one another, then to at least work out our differences and accept our wins and our losses as well as our wins is an important one. And I think what we've seen certainly over the last few months is a real inability of Donald Trump and many of his supporters to accept the fact that he lost this election. There's still many people out there claiming that, you know, the votes were stolen. And, you know, right up until this morning, we had people, you know, saying that this was all an amazing trap he had put together to capture Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and you know, bring them in. You know, there's a lot of delusions out there, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, I think you're going to see, you already see a few Republican senators saying warm things about Joe Biden. You know, some of them were claiming that there was a great deal of fraud until recently. But that said, you know, the hope is that, you know, we can move forward in this country and agree to disagree without being disagreeable, I guess.
Dylan, let's talk about Kelly Ward and her future as heading the Republican Party. When you think about it, she has not been very successful. Look at in the Trump era here in Arizona over the past 2 years, Republicans losing both Senate seats. In November, the state flipped Democratic in the presidential race for the first time since 1996, and the state party chair is at war with the governor. Other than being elected to, I believe, a representative state senator from Lake Havasu City, has she had many successes in her career? I mean, she is a doctor.
Being elected by
political successes,
hard right folks in the Republican Party to be the chair, she was successful at that as well. The Republican Party itself is kind of at a moment of reckoning right now. There are a significant number of people who are, you know, at least QAnon adjacent, if not full-on conspiracist crazy, who are calling for the formation of the new Patriot Party. There are some more centrist Republicans, a few of the Lincoln Project folks and others who want to split off and form a centrist party that is, you know, different than the Republican Party and be, you know, essentially what the Republicans were 30 years ago, say. So what exactly happens with the GOP over the next couple of years will be, pretty interesting. You know, there are plenty of individuals who are themselves going to run into some serious trouble for the actions that they've taken recently. You've got, hundreds, perhaps thousands of people who are going to face criminal charges for what just happened 2 weeks ago. And you have others who are at least thinking they have some criminal exposure. Reportedly, two members of Congress from Arizona were seeking pardons for their involvement in the insurrection. We certainly have not heard the end of what happened there. Despite all these calls for unity by Biden, by many Republicans, the fact that people just invaded the U.S. Capitol and tried to pull off a coup is not going to go away.
Jim Nitzel, let me read you a quote from Kirk Adams, former Republican State House Speaker, former Chief of Staff for Governor Ducey. He says, the craziness of the state Republican Party in Arizona is pretty darn embarrassing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Dylan's right that they definitely are facing some splintering. But at the same time, you know, what we've noted in recent election cycles is that, you know, the party of the White House tends to lose seats when the elections roll around, when the midterms roll around. And of course, we have a midterm U.S. Senate election here in 2 years with Mark Kelly. You know, most of the state offices are up, statewide offices with governor. We're going to have the new candidates running there. And I wouldn't be surprised if despite all we've seen, the Republican Party did well in the next round of midterms. And a lot of that's going to depend, of course, on the candidates that they nominate and the candidates that the Democrats nominate. But, you know, Biden only won the state by, 10,000 votes? So it wouldn't be shocking to see, despite their disarray at this point, them doing well. But, you know, I think what Doug Ducey's facing right now, and he's certainly rumored to be one of the people who might run against Mark Kelly in 2 years, is, you know, he's got the base of the Republican Party incredibly angry at him over some of the things he's done in regards to the virus restrictions, although he hasn't done much. And also the fact that he was willing to acknowledge reality and say that Joe Biden won Arizona. There are a lot of people who consider him a traitor for doing that. So he's got some real problems within his own party that he needs to sort out. And, of course, he also has, you know, the Democrats aren't going to, you know, feel warmly towards him either. So he's kind of in a no-win situation.
Dylan, a final thought.
I'm just, you know, today taking a big breath. The things that we're going to be talking about as far as, you know, how the federal government approaches the coronavirus pandemic, how it deals with the border, are going to be very, very different than they have been for the past 4 years. And I think we all need to sort of recalibrate how we think about things. One thing I did want to mention real quick, I thought it was really important that Biden several times in his inaugural address mentioned the importance of people paying attention to facts and the truth rather than things that are manufactured and manipulated. And that was a recurring theme. And I think it's, you know, we all need to get back to understanding that there's a difference between the world as it actually exists and the things that we think we want.
And the reality is I'm out of time. Dylan Smith, again, congratulations. 11 years
Thank
now
you,
with TucsonSentinel.com. And Jim Nitzel, the Tucson Weekly. We'll look for the weekly coming out actually tomorrow, right, Jim?
Yep, Hidden Streets tonight and tomorrow. And Dylan, congratulations. Keep up the good work. You do amazing
Thank you.
Stuff. With the
you
Sentinel.
Too, man.
Okay, guys, thank you very much. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show, Inauguration Day. Hope everybody has a great afternoon. I want to thank Tom Fairbanks as he hits all the right buttons as we proceed here into the Dave Ramsey Show, talking about your money on 1030 KVOI. Have a great afternoon, everybody.